You're listening to the Mid-Michigan Pet Expert Talk Show, only on More Compelling Talk Radio, 1320 WILS.
It's 11:35, and we're back here on the Mid-Michigan Pet Expert Talk Show. And Rick, in this segment, we have with us in the studio, Dr. Derek Nolan from Cedar Creek Veterinary Hospital out in Williamston. Welcome to the show, Dr. Nolan.
Hi, thanks for having me here.
Oh, it's our pleasure to have you. Dr. Nolan, the reason we wanted to have you out here is because in our discussion of veterinary care and all the different types of things that are out there, a lot of people don't really do what you do. My understanding is that you really specialize in more exotic animals. Is that correct?
That's correct. We do dogs and cats also, but we do a lot of work with the more exotic pets.
Well, sure. I guess my first question is, what led you into it? You were playing with frogs in science class, and you just said, you know, I really like this, and it evolved from there, or how did it occur?
Well, my story is actually pretty simple, I think. There wasn't necessarily one life-changing event or anything that made me decide suddenly to be a veterinarian. But it's something I kind of always knew I wanted to do. I mean, I was always interested more in the sciences and medicine, and I love the animals and always love dealing with people. And hey, what a better career where I can do something every day, you know, with helping people take care of their animals.
Right.
You know?
Well, I guess my question for you is, why do a lot of people particularly specialize in that area? Because it seems to me like there aren't very many. And if there aren't that many, why not?
Well, that's true. Really, the number of exotic veterinarians, you know, who do the birds and reptiles and small mammals, that kind of thing, there are very, very few around. There's not a lot of information out there. There's not a lot of, you know, current medicine as compared to dogs and cats. It's tougher to keep current on that kind of thing. So there just aren't that many around. So we.
I can definitely attest to that. You know, when we started our store back in like 1982. You know, I was the reptile department there, and I got to see a lot of problems. It was a continual barrage of emotional stress. And over these many, many years, thanks to advancements in reptile care, you know, things have changed whole, you know, 180, 360, you know. And I would say that I bet you when Derek started that journey as a kid, you know, he probably has different and more difficult stories to tell. And I bet you things have changed over the years.
They have changed a lot. Even in just in my career in the last 10 years, things have come a long, long way. Even if we look back 30 years ago, I don't think there was such thing as a reptile veterinarian or a bird veterinarian too much. It was very, you know, very, very rare that people even took their animals like that to the vet. But even the last 10 years or so, the advancements have come quite a bit as far as we've really got them figured out, as far as, you know, the medicines and, you know, different surgeries and things like that, and how to take care of them and how to keep them healthy, for sure.
And I know, Derek, one of the things that I'm really proud of you when you come into our store and talk to us is you really do it with a real strong sense of compassion. You know, these exotic animals, we sometimes distance ourselves from more so than our dogs and cats. We can really associate with the emotions of a dog or a cat. But when it comes to reptiles and birds and exotic animals like that, you know, you find a lot of reason for compassion. Would that be true?
Well, sure, of course. I mean, there's really not a whole lot of difference, you know, with a dog versus a guinea pig. I mean, you can love them just the same. Definitely the birds especially, they tend to have a longer lifespan, and they really, you know, they'll mimic things that people say, and their emotions and the way that they interact with you are quite endearing, and people definitely love animals like that. We see that a little bit less with some of the reptiles. Sometimes there is a little bit of less emotional attachment with the reptiles just because of, well, they don't tend to interact with people as regularly or in the same way. But we definitely have people that love their reptiles, and I do too. I mean, I think there's something about it. So
when you went to Michigan State, correct?
I went to Michigan State.
Yeah, and was that a pretty hard journey?
It was for me. I think the hardest part was getting in and staying in and doing well with the classes. That was about the hardest part, I think. So
it was a little tough, but
it was a little bit tough. But it's you know, it's doable. It's a lot of work, but it's not, you know, it's not something that people can't do, obviously.
Right. Tell us about maybe one of your more memorable cases when it comes to reptiles or small animals that you can kind of just think of.
Well, it depends what the interest is. For me, this was a few years ago, but one of my favorite ones was a big snake, a Burmese python. I think he was over 100 pounds, maybe 15 to 18 feet long. And he had swallowed a towel, like a bath towel.
Oh, my.
And what happened, the person was feeding him a rat with a towel in his hand holding the rat, and the snake grabbed the rat and the towel and everything and pretty much ate it. And, you know, it's a big snake, but the towel was pretty big, and it got stuck in him, and we had to do, you know, surgery to remove it. But the snake was so big, we had him on our surgery table, plus two other tables stretched out along the whole clinic, and it was quite an ordeal and pretty interesting. But everything went fine, got the towel out, and he did well. That's one I can think of offhand.
And some of the animals, I mean, when a bird versus a reptile versus a small animal walks in the door, is there one that you feel a little bit more uneasy about as far as concerns as to whether you're going to be able to do anything with it, or are there some that are easier to work on, some that are harder to work on?
Yeah, I mean, that's a broad question, but one of them is, I mean, I won't say there's one that I'll feel less comfortable or that's harder or easier to work on, but for instance, if you have a sick bird that comes in, that tends to be much more emergency situation than a sick reptile, let's say, because the birds, you know, if they can, they tend to hide their illness, and they can act very well and be very, very sick, you know, within 24 hours, and even though they've been sick for a couple of weeks. And so those you have to deal with a little more aggressively, you know, versus a pet turtle that hasn't eaten for a week. Well, I mean, he's not going to starve very quickly for something like that. So
we're talking this morning with Dr. Derek Nolan, who comes from the Cedar Creek Animal Hospital out in Williamston. Dr. Nolan, let me ask you this question. As far as an international flavor, one of the things that's changing at Michigan State is there's many more foreign students who are starting to come to the United States who are wanting to study veterinary medicine. It makes sense. As the world gets a little bit wealthier, there's going to be more opportunity in other countries for people to study that. But I would imagine there's got to be a real cultural affinity towards certain animals. Like I think of South America, and I would imagine that birds and reptiles would be very popular down there. Explain that to me in terms of how much do you see that being a growth part of where your industry is going?
Well, I'm not sure of the question with if those you mean being more popular pets in places like South America. From just my small experience of talking to people and veterinarians from those type of areas, is actually they're less popular because it's the equivalent of us having a pet squirrel here. You know, a lot of them come from there and they're more interesting, but you just see it, you know, less there. And there, something like a squirrel or a dove may be more, you know, more an exotic pet for them.
Interesting.
Right. It takes the word exotic right out of it, darn it.
Yes.
I got you. That makes sense, yep. I suppose.
And the other thing is that, and I don't know if you've noticed this, but I do find that there are cultural differences within the way people are raised as youngsters as to whether a pet is even an appropriate animal. I don't know if you really see that in your practice as far as cultural sensitivities, but I know I see that on a day-to-day basis. So
sure.
Here in the United States, you know, no matter what your ethnic orientation is, if you are raised up and kind of born and raised in the United States, I find people tend to be very passionate pet people. But if they were raised in other cultures, sometimes that's not the case. Have you noticed that to be the case?
We see that sometimes, yeah. I mean, the general trend is, I mean, nowadays especially, you know, the pets are family members, you know, and people treat them that way.
Right.
But we'll see, you know, where it's different. You know, you have an animal that is, you know, it lives outside or, you know, something like that. And if it's really sick, they'll bring it in. But it's not the same emotional attachment kind of thing.
Sure.
And I see that. I don't deal with it a ton, but definitely it's there for sure.
Sure.
When it comes to taking care of certain things like fish, I would just imagine it must be very, very difficult because of how small they are. How does the size of the animal affect your ability to really be able to take care of them? Because like I say, there are some species that are so small, I would just imagine
sure.
It's got to be like me trying to hit the keys on certain of the devices that you've got today. The fingers just don't work versus the smallness of the destination.
That's absolutely true. I mean, it depends, you know, again, what you're dealing with. If we have a large macaw, sometimes it's easier to deal with a smaller bird like a parakeet, which is a lot smaller, just because of, you know, they're not as strong and they're not going to hurt you as much and things like that. But yeah, sometimes we'll deal with these poison dart frogs, which are little, you know, 3 or 4 gram frogs where you can't do a whole lot with them physical exam wise or things like that. And you have to kind of figure out based on, you know, the history of what they're telling you, what they're, you know, what they're looking like at that point. And kind of sometimes you have to make guesses how to treat the little ones like that. So we definitely deal with a lot of critters. The fish is a different story. They're not all that small, but obviously you have to keep them in water. You can't do a great physical exam on, you know, an animal like that too. But yes, we definitely see anything. Some of these, when you're dealing with the exotics, you know, some are 100 pounds, over 100 pounds, and some are a couple of grams. So there's a big difference. And the smaller ones, you can't get, you know, the same, you know, necessarily blood samples or things like that from. So a lot of it is more you have to deal with what you're getting at by looking at them and trying to figure it out that way.
Interesting. We've been talking this morning with Dr. Derek Nolan from Cedar Creek Animal Hospital out in Williamston. Thank you so much for coming on the show, Dr. Nolan. We really appreciate it.
Well, thanks for having me.
Oh, it was our pleasure. And Rick, in the next segment, we're going to have a conversation with Dr. LeBlanc from the MSU Vet School coming up on the Mid-Michigan Pet Expert Talk Show on 1320 WILS.